Genesis chapter 4, verse number 10. I've got 15 minutes left based upon goals. Goals. Verse 10 says this. And he said, well, let's read a few verses before, verse 8 through 10. And Cain told Abel his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel, your brother? And he says, I don't know. Am I supposed to be looking out for him? I mean, he's the shepherd. Am I supposed to be shepherding him like he shepherds sheep? Am I supposed to keep him like he keeps sheep? Am I my brother's keeper? Watch this. And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. Turn to your neighbor and tell him the blood is talking about you. That's what I want to talk about. The blood is talking about you. This is not long after Genesis chapter 3, verse number 21, where God basically shows that and begins to give a more solidified picture of what he's going to do about the sin problem that began at the early part of Genesis chapter 3. You know the sin problem that began at around the beginning of chapter 3 of Genesis when Adam and Eve took of the fruit that God said not to eat of. There was a sin problem that came into the world. The problem that came into humanity. Now let me tell you something. The sin problem did not start in the garden. It started in heaven because there was an angel who sinned. But it couldn't get to humanity until humanity started dealing with the sin that came from this celestial supernatural being called Lucifer, called Abaddon, called the adversary, called the enemy, called the roaring lion, called Beelzebub, called Belial. And he sinned. He was cast out of heaven. He's on earth. Now he wants to infect Adam and Eve with the infection that he developed in heaven. And now he does. He's successful. Adam and Eve mess up. They sin. They sin. And the Bible says as soon as they sin, their eyes were opened and they noticed that they were naked. The end of chapter 2 says they were naked and unashamed. Why? Because shame had not been introduced into the world. You know what shame is. Shame is the thing that makes you blush. Shame is the thing that makes your face twitch. Shame is the thing that makes you no longer able to look at somebody in the eye. Shame is the thing that's tied to guilt so that you cannot be confident in someone's presence. Adam and Eve lost their confidence in the presence of God, so much so that they even lost their confidence in the presence of one another. For the first time, they looked at each other and felt shame. For the first time, they dealt with God and felt ashamed. So their very first resort was to run to cover their nakedness, which was newly discovered because they did not know they were naked before, or if they did, it was nothing to be ashamed of. So what they do is they attempt to cover their own nakedness. They attempt to cover their own nakedness. They attempt to fix their own problem. They attempt to give their own remedy. They attempt to prescribe their own medicine. They attempt to fix things their own way. They attempt to cover themselves. They use fig leaves and see them as they go into the garden and they grab fig leaves off and they're both in different sections because now their shame has not only been brought toward God, but it's to one another. For the first time, Eve wants to cover herself from Adam and Adam wants to cover himself from Eve. And this is the existence of clothes, which would indicate that clothing is a very icon of the shame that came about through sin. They use these figs and they try to cover themselves, but that wasn't good enough. That wasn't good enough because figs die. They wither away. So Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21, after God gives them their verdicts and he tells the woman, you're going to have pain in childbirth. And he tells the man, curses the ground because of you. In in pain and in sweat and in tears and in hard labor shall you till the ground, and it will bring forth to you thorns and thistles, meaning for the first time in history, nature will produce worthless agriculture that is against the very idea of gardening. You will produce something that won't be worth anything. The ground will. And after God does that, the Bible says in Genesis 3:21 that he covers them with skins. Don't read over that, because this means and institutes the first physical death that ever existed in history. Now, I do know that Adam and Eve became subject to death. And now the clock was not their friend when they had sinned, but they didn't die as soon as they messed up. They still lived. As a matter of fact, Adam and Eve lived a considerable amount of years after they messed up. But the first physical death in the Garden of Eden, the first physical thing that dies, are the animals that used to wear as a coat the fur that God used to cover them. Which gives the indication and starts this pattern that we see throughout the Bible that screams and indicates and teaches us that the only thing that can appease the nakedness of our sinfulness, the only thing that can appease sin, is blood. Life for life. Skin for skin. Blood for blood. Nothing else will work. And it began this pattern. Well, when we get to Genesis chapter 4, Adam and Eve, you know, they get together at some point. I don't know if they kept their clothes on, but they got together. And Adam knew his wife Eve. And that's not knowing like, that's a different kind of know. That's a know like your mom knew your dad. And the Bible says that Cain was born and Abel was born after that. Now, the Bible says something about Abel. It says that Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a man of the field. He was a gardener. It's interesting that Cain had his father's vocation. His father, who was tarnished by sin, Cain had his father's career in gardening. And at that time, God was being worshiped, and they were giving sacrifices to the Lord. And the Bible says that Abel gives the firstling of his flock. He goes into his flock and he gives God the firstling of his flock. He sacrifices a life so that he can present to God what is acceptable. And Cain just takes some of his crop and lay it on the altar. And the Bible says that Cain, it doesn't say he looked over, but we know he was aware, because the Bible says that God respected Abel and his offering, but had no respect for Cain and his offering. And that bothered Cain. Cain started feeling shady. Here it is. Abel's worship is accepted to God. Abel sacrifices to God one of the firstling of his flock, gives God blood. God had already established, and I'm sure it had been passed down, that our figs were not enough. It took the life of some other creature to cover us in our sinfulness. And Abel gives the firstling of his flock. Cain just gives, not even, watch this, the first fruit, but his simple crops. He puts no effort into it. Because to him, God should be happy with whatever I give. To him, I'm doing this myself, and so God. And why would Cain feel that way? Remember, the ground was already cursed. Cursed. And so Cain had to work a little harder than Abel, because he's working with something that God cursed. And he's using his own effort to give God what he wants. He's using his own wit. He's using his own strength. He's using his own knowledge and his own know-how to give God what he wants. And here Abel is. Watch this. Here Abel is simply giving the firstling of his flock. And Cain gets upset. Why? Because you accepted Abel's offering but didn't accept mine. Well, the way it goes is God says to Cain, look, why is your face so long? Why are you tripping? Why are you looking like that? What's that attitude all up in here? He says, if you would have given what I asked you, then everything would be well. And you can fix this thing by giving me what's pleasing to me. But he says, if not, then sin lies at your door. It lies at your door and it's ready to pounce on you. He's saying, look, watch out, Cain, because you're on your way to doing something sinful. Lo and behold, it goes down. God has this conversation with Cain. And if that's not bad enough, the Bible says that Cain goes to Abel and tells him about the conversation that he and God had. Because he said it went to his brother and told him. The Bible says that in an envious rage, Cain took his brother's life, killed his brother in an envious rage and indignation. That was not godly, that was based on jealousy, that was based on envy. He kills his brother. See the blood run. The Bible never says that he took a blunt object. It never said he took anything. It never says what he did to do it. But whatever Cain did to his brother caused the blood to run. His brother, who was a shepherd, his brother, who was innocent, his brother who did what God demanded and did what God accepted. He was innocent. His brother who took care of sheep. His brother who did not do anything, who no guile was found in his mouth. As a matter of fact, in this text, you never see Abel say anything. In the narrative of the text, Abel says nothing. You don't see any words, any discourse in the text where Abel says, well, I know that's what God said, but you know what? You know, let me help you. He does not say a mumbling word in the text. Listen to how I'm describing Abel as being innocent. Listen to how I'm describing Abel as being a shepherd. Abel who does not, it's not recorded that he said a mumbling word. Abel who is killed. Abel who has a brother that's envious of him. Abel who is killed by his brother. When this happens, God said, Cain, what did you do? Where is your brother? Abel said, I don't know. He lied. Am I supposed to be keeping my brother? Is it my responsibility to keep my brother? Am I his keeper? I don't know where he is. And God says something, because now the Abel that never said a word, the Abel that we don't see anything recorded, any discourse, any word said, now is speaking figuratively to God, but he's not speaking in a way that's literal. He's not speaking like Cain and God spoke. He's not speaking like Cain did when he told Abel. God says something very odd here. He says, the blood of your brother Abel is speaking to me. No. You don't have to tell the truth. You don't have to admit it, Cain. You don't have to lay out what happened. I'm not asking you because I don't know. I'm asking you because of what something else is telling me. And I'm going to deal with you based upon what your brother's blood is communicating to me. Oh, don't miss this. God, in essence, is not reacting to Cain. He's reacting to what Abel's blood is telling him. Cain couldn't do anything to save himself, to exonerate himself. Couldn't do anything and would not and did not have the capacity of humility to tell on himself and to come forth and be humble and be meek and be honest and have integrity and say, I got jealous. Why? Because there was a previous conversation before Cain killed Abel. And God warned him. He said, sin is lying at your door. You better get it together. Get it together, because you're going to do something that you're going to regret. So God is talking to Cain based on what the blood of Abel is saying to him. What is that blood saying?
Vengeance, murder, guilt, shame, indignation,
wrath. Cain, where's your brother?
Vengeance.
Where's your brother, Cain?
Murder.
Vengeance.
Guilt.
You don't know.
Shame.
Are you your brother's kid? His blood.
Indignation.
His blood.
Condemnation.
Judgment.
His blood. His blood is saying vengeance. His blood is saying murder. His blood is saying condemnation. His blood is indicting you, Cain. This is how I know. And his blood is talking about you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 11. Oh my God. Hebrews chapter 11, rather, verse number 4. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 4 makes reference to Abel and his blood. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, 4, what?
By faith. Abel offered to God a better sacrifice.
So watch this. We know that this was by faith. We know it had to have been communicated to them what God expected. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, number one. Number two, because God already established that figs don't work. He already established that, watch this, agriculture is not an adequate covering. How do we know? Cain's parents tried the same thing. They tried the same thing with figs, fig leaves to cover themselves, but that wasn't adequate. And here Cain is using the same thing his parents used to try to cover himself and present himself before the Lord. But Abel use the same thing his parents were given to present to the Lord. And the Bible says, by faith, Abel offered up a more excellent sacrifice. Read.
Through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous.
God declares that he's righteous, not better, but righteous. Not more important, but righteous. Not self-righteous. Righteous, but righteous. Why are you righteous, Cain? Abel, I'm righteous because I'm trusting God's prescription. I'm not trusting me. I'm not trusting my ability to tend the sheep. I'm trusting that the sacrifice I'm giving to God, which God demands, is enough to cover me. Read.
God testifying about his gifts.
God accepts his gifts. Read.
And through faith, and though through he faith, is dead,
though he's dead,
he still speaks.
What? Abel still speaks. Blood speaking. Because you do know that righteousness is the only thing that can condemn unrighteousness. Don't miss this. Right is the only thing that can condemn wrong. That's why we have a problem when one of us try to condemn the other. That's why I'm going to have a problem if you try to condemn me. You know why I'm going to have a problem if you try to condemn me? Because you ain't right. Come on in this house. Let's be honest about this. I'm almost done. Let's be honest. We have a problem. The only thing that has the right, the only thing that is fit enough to condemn unrighteousness is righteousness. And that's why we can't condemn one another. Now watch this. We can admonish one another. We can help one another. We can reprove one another. But we can't condemn one another because none of us have the capacity of rightness to successfully condemn somebody else who is unrighteousness. But watch this. Through faith, Abel's righteousness, not his self-righteousness, but the righteousness he had in that obedient faith in what God wanted, the rightness condemned Cain. Let me help you understand that. Because it says the same thing about Noah. Meaning, the only thing you don't have to condemn, watch this, you don't have to say a word for you, watch this, to condemn somebody. All you got to do is be right. Be covered in the righteousness of. Do the right thing. So watch this. Noah condemned the whole world. Do you know how he did it? By doing what God said. By trusting God. Because watch this. Light will always condemn darkness. Good will always condemn bad. You can have a crowd of people doing the wrong thing. Talking about the wrong thing. You come in being right. And your behavior will condemn them. Have you ever had somebody feel guilty because you walked in? Have you ever had somebody feel guilty because you don't talk like them and you don't do what they do, but you walk in, suddenly their conscience is convicted. Not because you said you're wrong and you're wrong and you know you don't need to be doing that, but you simply walked in the spirit of the Lord and covered in his righteousness, and your righteousness, or which is the righteousness of God in you, condemned unrighteousness. So what did Abel's blood say? Listen again to what Abel's blood said that made or led God to deal with Cain the way he dealt with Cain. His blood said, murder, vengeance, wrath, indignation, condemnation. Because blood talks about you. Blood speaks. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 through 24. All of us, if left to our humanity, God's getting the same message about you and about me that he got from the blood of Abel. Why? Because Abel was innocent. Abel was innocent. Abel was a shepherd. He took care of sheep. Abel was hated by his brethren, by his brother. Abel had his brother envious of him. And because of that envy, Abel's brother killed him. But there is another person who was innocent. And not only was he a shepherd, but he was the chief shepherd. Not only was he the chief shepherd, but he was the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. And he had some brethren who he came to, but they received him not. And they hated him. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 27, the text says at around verse 16 that he knew for envy they delivered him. They said, let him be crucified. Why did they say, let him be crucified? Because they were envious of him. Matthew 27, 18, he said, he knew. The reason why you're saying let him be crucified is not because I've done anything wrong, but because my sacrifice to God is what God was pleased with. And God said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And you are living off of self-righteousness. And it wasn't long after that, his brothers killed him. But look at what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 22. The Bible says what?
But ye have come to Mount Zion.
You have come to Mount Zion.
And to the city of the living God.
And to the city of the living God. Stay on the boat, Mountain View. Read.
The heavenly Jerusalem.
The heavenly Jerusalem.
And to the myriads of angels.
To the myriad of angels. Read.
To the general assembly.
To the general assembly.
And church.
Church of the firstborn. Read.
Enrolled in heaven and to God.
Read.
The judge of all.
Uh-huh.
And the spirits of the righteous under perfect.
Read.
Perfect. And to Jesus, the mediator.
So he's talking about Jesus. He's giving all of these descriptions of Jesus. He says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood. Watch this. Abel's blood said vengeance. Abel's blood said condemnation. Abel's blood said murder. Abel's blood said indignation. Abel's blood said guilty, 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 guilty. And when Abel's blood spoke, God punished Cain. There was nothing Cain could have said. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that God said, cursed are you and the ground because of you, Cain. He cursed Cain and curses the ground again. And Cain begins as the progenitor of a series and generation after generation of fallen creation because he was cursed. Why did God deal with Cain so harshly? He dealt with Cain so harshly because what the blood told him. But all the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 24 that Jesus, his blood says something better than what Abel's blood said. It's saying something that's less harmful to us because God is not interested in hearing from us. He wants to hear what the blood is saying about us. Just as he was not interested in hearing from Cain, he was responding to what the blood was saying about Cain. Well, what does the blood of Jesus say about us? The blood of Jesus says about us redemption,
mercy, grace, forgiveness.
But I messed up.
Justification.
I killed people with my words.
Atonement.
I did this.
Mercy.
Redemption.
I fornicated.
Grace.
I've committed adultery.
Grace.
Forgiveness.
But I'm guilty.
Justification.
I feel bad about what I did.
Atonement.
Why?
Redemption.
Lord. Why?
Mercy.
Is the blood saying mercy?
Forgiveness.
Why is the blood saying forgiveness? I did it.
Atonement.
The blood is not mercy. Condemning me. The blood is not grace. Putting me down. The blood is not exacting vengeance. The blood is saying something about me that I don't deserve. The blood is pleading mercy on me. The blood is pleading grace on me. And when God deals with me, he doesn't deal with me based on what you say, or you say, or you say, or you say. He's listening to the blood. When the children of Israel were in Egypt and he sent the death angel, he was not interested in seeing the families. He was not interested in knowing the biological and autobiography and biography of everybody in the house. He didn't want to know whether they were light skinned or dark skin, had braided hair, or had money in their pocket, or I was this person, or this prestige, or this power. God said, when I send the death angel, the only thing I'm interested in is the blood. When I see the blood, not only does God see the blood, but he hears the blood. And if you are covered by the blood of Jesus, the blood is speaking about you. You and I are going to have to get to the point where we don't allow what people say to overshadow what the blood is saying. Oh, you may not like me. You may think I'm shiesty. You may not like where I came from. You may think I'm this, that, or the other. You may not like my attitude. You may not like how I praise. You may not like the mistakes I've made. I had a baby before wedlock. You don't like that. I dated somebody you didn't approve of. You don't like that. You may not like my friends. You may not like my choices in the past. But since all of that, I obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. I stepped out on faith, got covered by the blood, and now while you say guilty, the blood is saying mercy. While you say shiesty, the blood is saying grace. While you say finished, the blood is saying just begun. Praise God for the blood, because it speaks better things than Abel. God says, I see the blood and I hear the blood. And the blood of Jesus speaks better things. Mercy. The blood of Jesus speaks grace.
Mercy. Grace. Forgiveness.
When I'm down.
Justification.
When I feel like a failure.
Atonement.
When I feel guilty.
Mercy.
When I'm not proud of what I've done.
Grace.
When I feel like I'm finished.
Grace. Forgiveness.
When people are talking about me.
Justification.
I'm justified.
Atonement.
There's been atonement.
Redemption.
Thank God that he doesn't listen to anything but the blood. If you're not covered by the blood, all you have to live with is what Abel's blood spoke of Cain. I told you it's decision time. It's not enough to spend your whole life saying, I only dated Jesus. Jesus says, I want you to come to me and be covered by the blood. What? Don't try to fix it yourself. Being a good person won't work. Watch this. There are a lot of good people that come to church. Being upstanding citizen doesn't work. I don't care if you got the citizenship award, community crime watch award. I don't care if you got the key to the city, Jack. The blood doesn't deal with politics. The blood doesn't deal with statuses. It doesn't deal with level of education. It does not deal with socioeconomic status. It does not deal with which side of the tracks you live on. It doesn't deal with how many people you give to humanitarian efforts. Some of us are trying to please God with our own efforts. We're doing what Adam and Eve did when they grabbed the fig leaves. We're doing what Cain did when he took up the ground and just offered anything to the Lord. God says, the only way I'm going to be pleased with you is based on what the blood tells me. And if you're not covered by the blood, then the blood is not speaking well of you. Look at one more text, and this lesson is yours. Go to Matthew 23. Look at what Jesus says about Pharisees and self-righteousness. Begin with verse 29. Jesus is talking to religious people now. He's talking to religious people, because some of us use religion like fig leaves. We use religion like fig leaves. We say, okay, I came to church. I even gave him my means. And I'm not saying you shouldn't do this, but this is not how you're, this is not the foundation of what makes you okay with God. What makes you okay with God is what the blood says, not what the church says. And we got to be careful that we don't try to speak for the blood. The blood has its own voice. The blood's voice said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The blood said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The blood said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. You're dealing with other problems. Let me tell you something. There are things that make us look bad to people. Your health or the lack thereof can make you look bad to somebody. Have you ever seen somebody and the last time you saw them, they were healthy? And it's been a long time, then you see them and their sickness is on them. Hello. And we play it off. Hey, how you doing? We get away and we say, I wonder what's wrong. Man, he looked like he having it rough. Being broke can make you look bad. Somebody ought to say amen up in here. Oh, God. Some people have managed to look good being broke, and that's good. Others of us wear our brokenness on our backs and on our around our waist. When we broke, we look broke down. We stop keeping up hygiene. You're not taking a shower because you can't buy that purse. So you're just going to let your body go and just be all stinking. No. Some of us look bad when we're broke to each other. But you can look broke and not look bad with God. You can be sick and not look bad to God. The only thing that would make you look terrible to God is if you're in sin. And we try desperately to manage everything that makes us look okay to people while looking horrific to the eyes of God. God wants to see the blood. Look at what Jesus says. Let's hurry up.
Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees.
Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees.
Hypocrites.
Hypocrites.
For you build the tombs of the prophets.
You build the tombs of the prophets.
And adorn the monuments of the righteous.
So he's criticizing these scribes and Pharisees, these religious people who got it so right. These people that are Bibleites. They're Bibleites. They trusted their ability to keep the scripture. They didn't trust God. They trusted their ability to do what God says. Read.
And say, if we had been living in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partners with them.
If that was us back then, we wouldn't have killed the prophets. Read.
In shedding the blood of the prophets. So you testify against yourselves.
So you're testifying against yourself.
That you are sons of those who
murdered
the prophets.
So you actually admitting that your fathers killed the prophets. You're their seed. Your fathers killed the prophets. God sent prophets. God sent patriarchs to try to tell them his will, and your ancestors killed them. And by saying if we lived back then, we wouldn't have did it, you're also admitting why you do it now, because the people back then were your predecessors. Read.
Fill up then the measure of the guilt of your fathers.
Fill up then the measure of the guilt of your fathers. Read.
You serpents.
Jesus was cussing them out in that modern day vernacular. I'm not saying go cuss somebody out. Don't be hyper religious now. You know that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying Jesus was using the most offensive language to talk about religious people. He says, you brood of serpent, of vipers. Read.
How will you escape the sentence of hell?
How are you going to get away from hell? Oh, some people don't like that kind of preaching, but Jesus did it. He says, therefore, read.
Therefore, behold, I am sending you prophets
I'm sending you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, just like your fathers did. Read.
And some of them you will scourge in your synagogues.
And some of them you're going to scourge in your synagogues. Read.
And persecute from city to city.
And persecute from city to city.
So that upon you may fall the guilt of all the righteous blood shed on earth.
Read.
From the blood of righteous Abel.
So watch this. The blood still speaks. Remember we read in Hebrews 11:4 that Abel's blood still speaks. Who does Abel blood speak to? It speaks to everybody who operates off of their own righteousness. It says, no matter what you do, murderer, no matter what you're trying to do to fix it apart from God, condemnation, guilty, shame. Abel's blood was still speaking and is still speaking. But if you would be so inclined this morning to walk out in obedient faith and give your life to Jesus, the blood of Jesus will give a different conversation about you to God. So you've been dating Jesus? You're going to make your decision. And I'm not saying today. I'm saying you need to be preparing your mind for a decision. Will you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation? Are you willing to turn away from your sins and yourself and to turn to God? Are you really willing to do an about face and turn toward God to repent, to change, to unhitch from that which takes you away from God? Are you willing to confess with your lips and your life? Are you willing to come to God? I know in some fellowships they have what's called Baptism Sunday. Every Sunday is Baptism Sunday, but I do know the realization that some people really want to think it about it and they wanted to do it. So let's just call next Sunday Baptism Sunday, this Sunday Baptism Sunday, Sunday after that Baptism Sunday. It's time to become official so that you can walk covered by the blood, because whether you believe it or not, somebody's blood is talking about you. Come right now, as together we stand and sing this song.